Good morning, good morning. I appreciate just being able to be here. I was talking to several, I don't know how many I told, and sometimes I catch on to a way of saying things and repeat it a little bit, but to two or three who asked me, I said this morning, yeah, I'm improving, I'm wobbling around a little faster than before. And not nearly enough to suit Earl's lack of patience, but I'm getting there, and that's the good news, and I appreciate that. I appreciate so much all of the encouragements that have come from this family, and they have been abundantly mine and appreciated and helpful and strength-giving and encouraging. And for all of that, I am sincerely grateful. Our theme today is that we be a people who love one another as He's loved us. Now, there, the latter end of that is a challenge indeed. We'll be talking about that a little bit today. Love one another as we have been loved by Him. Now, I hope you take that challenge seriously. When you need it, and you will. There are many in this room. In fact, I think in this room there's only one of us that might be a little older than me. I'm not sure. That I don't think there's another one in the room older than me, except one dear lady who's been an encouragement to me now for 30 years here or more. You're going to need it. Guarantee you. You are just like me and this other lady, whom I won't name, who's so dear. Her white hair just charms me. We know how much you need it, because life brings some events, and the more of them, as you age, the more you realize how dear family is. Precious, beloved, spiritual family. I have got today blood family. It wouldn't even be big news if they got word, you know what, I think Earl died. Would be like, oh well, okay, that'd be about it. But this family and the family that we have by God's incredible grace, the opportunity to be, to put together, to continue to build it better and better, is the best thing on this planet for just making life better, easier, more encouragement, more place to turn when the storms of life blow in and crash right on you. You need it. So do I. A people among whom you are a part who love each other. For real. This sermon today will be, and I just say right up front, I never thought I would say this. It never occurred to me. I've heard other people say it who were in bad health or older. I have to pace myself. I hate that. But I do. I have to pace myself. I didn't make Bible study today. I came in toward the end of it, but I didn't come in even because it was too late. Because today is a long day. Many things are happening. I'm up here. Then we got the fellowship dinner, which is all fun. But when you have the lack of strength that comes, it's taxing. And so by the time I get, and I got other things today too, a couple of more things that are going to be a part of just staying alive, staying active. And so by the time we get today, I get today to 8:30, 9 o'clock, I'm going to need to be propped up. But I appreciate being able to have even the strength that God gives and the encouragement and additional strength that comes from being a part of you. Second in the series. Started a couple of weeks ago from my first sermon after my hip surgery. And I just entitled that one, Moved by Grace. It was more generic. Tried to get us going on the idea that we are a people who are supposed to be movable from the inside. What does moved mean? Ever been moved? Various things have moved me through my life. You have. Where you're just stirred inside and you're affected and somehow you're redirected and you've got charge energy to go after something because something has moved you. Well, grace is supposed to do that to us. It is a dynamic generator of power designed for the inside of you. Now, there is a danger here for every human being. I worked on this sermon forever till I was no longer able to sit several times. And it's been hard to pull it together. You try to communicate to people where they are as best you can understand where they are, where they'll get it and understand it. And say, yeah, I think I know what he's talking about. I hadn't thought about that, if you haven't. And maybe there's something here for me to discover that I didn't really have an appreciation of or cognizance of before. You work on it a long time. And so that's what I'll be doing today. But there is a place in Scripture I want to turn to. I wasn't even sure where I'd start, to tell you the truth. Even after I got done, I still wasn't sure where I would start this lesson. But just as I was driving here and coming in, I kind of made a decision on that. I'm going to start in Ephesians chapter 4, where Paul is talking about people who have a problem. And I want us not to have that problem, or let that problem slowly, as it tends to do by the encouragement of Satan, develop on us. Just kind of move in. You ever have a problem that moved in slowly? And oh, you find out later on, I got a problem. How'd that happen? I have an attitude that I didn't have before. Where'd it come from? It just kind of snuck up on me. Snuck. That's a good Southern word. Listen to this. Make sure this problem doesn't sneak up on you. Paul talks in Ephesians chapter 4, and it begins talking in verse 17, and he's talking about the Gentiles, and he talks about the futility of their minds. Futility is a good word. It means whatever's in their minds, it ain't going nowhere. It's useless. It's futile. And then he goes on. He says, they are dark, in verse 18, they are darkened in their understanding, alienated. They're aliens, outsiders, don't belong. Alienated from the life of God. Boy, those folk are in bad shape. That sneaks up on you, you're in bad shape. Let's go on a little bit and let him describe those people. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them. Paul, be careful, you're going to insult somebody. They're going to take offense. Paul, he's saying it like it is. And I believe that's what we need. We don't need to bandy around saying it like it is. Even preachers must not. Teachers must not. The ignorance is in them. That's what caused it. Due to, he's going to go on and put another layer on this cause. Due to the hardness of their hearts. They have become callous. Now some translations say past feeling. Don't let that happen to you. You're dead while you live. As Paul describes some other people in the New Testament. They're dead while they live. They're past feeling. They're living. You can't from the outside see any difference in them in anybody else. But they don't feel anything anymore. Their minds are wandering away and all this futility stuff that is totally useless. Because Satan has moved in on them and they have no feelings left. For the real things of the values of life and the most valuable thing on this planet, which are the people God put us here among, and especially in His family. You can't afford to be past feeling. You're doomed. You're over. You're just winding down until they do your funeral, and then things get more sad after that. Having become past feelings, they've given themselves up, and he goes on to all kind of negative stuff. Their minds have been polluted and defiled. They're licentious. They're greedy to practice every kind of uncleanness. They've developed an appetite for this stuff. The world throws at all of us. And they've developed an appetite. And it's stifled out their ability to feel outside the ways of the world. Do not let that happen to you. Now what is the other way to go? What is it that we need to understand and be moved by that will prevent that? God, His own prescription for His children, how can it be prevented? And I maintain that is incorporated in the very title of my lesson, Moved by Grace. And we'll get into that a little bit. Word charis, beautiful word. Moved by grace to care. Do you care? I know you do. I know firsthand that there's a place that I have, and evident in hearts in this room. I don't have anything more valuable than that on this planet. But I can only have that in hearts that are not past feeling. They don't come really right into the presence of God as we are here today and feel nothing. Just going through some motions to me. Oh, please, I hope not. I hope not. Not for this family. Not for anyone in this room. And even the ones who couldn't be here today. I hope not. Let's pray for each other that not be true. That there are among us people who are past feeling, callous. But that by the grace of God and our understanding of it, and we're going to try to fill that out a little bit in the minutes that I have, we're moved. We're put back on track and off that stupid world track that pulls us out there and gets us into all kind of enamoration and desires, and I just got to be involved in this or that or the other, to the neglect and betrayal of the things God would have me have big feelings about and care about. I want to read a few scriptures that to me are designed by God to help us move back in from wherever we might be in any removal or distance from being a feeling people who care back to being a feeling people who care. Care for each other and care for Him who has the most reason to stir our hearts and melt them down and make us just come to the point where we're melted before Him in praise and adoration and in tears, regret for wherever we may have hurt Him. Move us back to that. I thought I'd start with that slide. Puts us in touch with the picture of the One who is to move us. His grace, amazing grace. The Lord is abounding in steadfast love. That's just who He is. Psalms 103. He loves you. He made you. He looks over you. He's never very far from you. He's not far from any one of us. Acts chapter 17, verse 7. Acts chapter 17, Mars Hill sermon. You look at the evidence of that and they are everywhere. He's never far from you. He made everything that you are. Spiritual, conscious thoughts need to remain ours. Cut my fingernails yesterday. You know what? God made mine and your fingernails. Little things that small. I had to cut them off. They get in the way. Don't know why He made them grow like that. But they have a purpose. They have a reason to be there. And they're a tiny, tiny, tiny little blessing from God. Every tiny little part of you is the result of a God who cares, who is abounding in steadfast love. If you just see the cute little image of a little black lamb and one who's rescuing him there, be careful. You may have a little bit of callousness working on you. But if in that photograph you see you, and it grabs you right in here, then you're not past feeling. You still have the ability, retained, given by God and retained, to say, wow, what a Savior. What amazing grace. What man of you having 100 sheep and has lost just one of them It would have kind of weakened this if he said he lost 15 or 18. That just puts me in the group. No, it came down to one. You. And he's lost one of them. And he did. He lost you. He didn't leave it that way. He could not. Because he abounds in steadfast love right down to the one, to you. Does he not leave the 99 in the wilderness? They're okay. They're safe. He's got them in a protected place. And go after the one which is lost until he finds it. And then jump down. I have room on this slide for all of it. There's an in-between verse that works wonderful. But when he comes home, he calls together his friends. This shepherd. This Savior. He calls together his friends and his neighbors. And he says to them, rejoice with me. For I have found you. I found my lamb who was lost. Now God is trying, that's not just the story, a cute little story you can put in a little book and it'll be colorful. And if it isn't any more than that, be careful. Some callousness may be working in. But if you see in this story, God doing his best to get through to you and say how special you are and how wonderful his grace is, then you're blessed. If the former is true, Satan's work to harden you over where you feel nothing, it's a dangerous place to be. Don't stay there. Come back and look. In order to look at this and be touched by this, you've got to turn away from the junk Satan's pulled into you that are your main things to get all steamed up about and feel something over. The Good Shepherd, John chapter 10. Now you see not a lamb, but you see somebody like you and me with the Savior holding them up, bringing them back home. God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, lost out there, that black lost little sheep in the wilderness, hopeless. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That was the way, the only way, he could bring you home. Romans 5, verse 8, another one of my favorite scriptures in the entirety of the New Testament. I hope you see in that you. Don't do anything from selfish ambition, desire to boast. Several translations say conceit, which is the same thing. But be humble towards one another. He's back to the family that he loves. Be humble toward each other in my family. Always considering others better than yourself. And look out for one another's interest. Not just for your own. The latter part of that will make you accountable. I'm just taking care of myself. Nobody's going to take care of me unless I do. And I'm going to take care of myself, and if I have a crumb or two left over, I might help somebody else. That'll make you into a calloused person who cannot hear the saving message of Jesus that just wants to bring you home from your lostness and hardness and callousness. We need to hear these words from our God so they shape who we are. So they don't just become time that we spent and almost feel like, well, God, I sacrificed some time for you. I sat here, didn't do anything for me, listened to Earl or Mike speak, and it's over now. Hope you're happy, God, because we got through it. Please don't be that hard person. Let the ones who bring to you or try to the message of God get in there. Change a little bit. It's the power of the Word of God. Let it have an effect to change you. Tune out the other junk that says, no, let me have your attention. Let me have your attention. That Satan puts in place, and he does it all the time, every day of all of our lives. We must not disregard what God says he wants his grace to do in us, to change in us. We must not disregard it. If we do, then life becomes a sad story in our case with an even sadder conclusion forever. the life stimuli that move you, what are they? Identify them. Go to the bother to do a self-analysis and really look and say, what is it that moves me? Is it my desire to have some successes that'll just make me feel so good and I can look around at others and say, man, I'm way ahead of these guys or girls? If it is, it's a bad motive. It's a bad stimulus. What are the stimuli that move you? And if you look and say, well, it used to be pretty much like that, but something happened. I was exposed to what was done for me 2,000 years ago, and it changed everything. Everything we are and have is only ours because of God's grace, His unmerited favor, because He feels in your regard. He has feelings for you. Ever think about that? God has strong feelings for you that literally had no bounds. There was nothing He wouldn't go to reach out and help you and prevent Satan from owning you forever. That's how strong His feelings were. And that's grace. Unmerited, undeserved, only came from Him, not because I was so cute, not because I was able to make myself so pretty to God. I was as ugly as sin. And He loved me. That's how big His feelings are. And they aren't matched by anything else in all of existence. Everything we are and have comes from Him. God Himself gives to all men life and breath and everything. That's Acts chapter 17 again, verse 25. I don't think I've got that in here, to tell you the truth. No, I'll pull that one back. I forget sometimes what I put on the slide and what I did not. But I want you to just think about that. God Himself. It's like saying, not just some God. God Himself, the real personal God. He gives to all people, including you, life and breath. Are you breathing? And everything. Does that touch you at all? Take away a couple of those things and see how you're doing. Try breath. And then get into that everything category. Start taking those away. You'll finish today, if you're still alive, pretty depressed. All of it from Him. What a God. What a God of all grace. That's what He's called. Toward you, not just in general, but in specific. In your case, I really think that, I mean, it's wonderful for us to think how blessed we are as a group, and we are. And as family, and that's an important consideration. We talked about that earlier. We need to be a family who, in terms of our theme today, love each other like He's loved us. But it is also healthy and maybe necessary, even a little above that, for us to think about just what is going on between Him and me in terms of appreciation for the grace and not being past feeling to where it moves me like nothing else to become what I become and you to become who you are and who you will be. Moved by grace. Moved by grace over being saved. How many people do you have who really care about your problems here on this earth? How many do you have? You got some. I know I've got some. Got you. Among a few others. There isn't anything that makes you richer than on this earth than these people that you can make a list of who really care. That means they have something in here that can't be figured out. Where is it? I don't know. It's just in there. I care about my Casey. Well, how do you know? Well, can you feel it anywhere? How do you know you care? It's hard to know, but it's in there. I sense it. It's real. The people you have like that are so much more important than what you have down here at Citizens Bank or whatever bank. So much more important. They will voluntarily put you ahead of themselves. They'll do that. And sometimes they can't really figure out why they did that. Why did I do that? There were things I could have done for myself. Why did I give it to Him? I don't know. There was something in you called care. And I was moved to it by grace. They have learned the joy of God's counsel when he says, do not do anything out of selfish ambition or from desire to boast, but humble yourselves toward each other, one another, and always considering others better. But they've learned that. That was just some fact they could write down or memorize. They learned it, and it went inside, became who they were. Most of us have been blessed with people like this. Mates, marriage partners, friends, moms, dads too. Kind of a little lower than moms, usually. I had a phone call. I'm out of time almost. I had a phone call just 2 days ago. I'd wobbled outside. Was out in my little master-crafted shaft that Brian Allbig laughed at. Up over my one-of-a-kind design carpentry. I used every stick of lumber and every... I used this stuff in that woodshed that came from Jim Ice's kid's old swing that was in their backyard. It's not pretty, but it works. I was sitting out there in that thing, and Jean Blank called me. Some of you don't know Jean Blank. You need to. She's a case. She's a dear lady. She's 80 years old now. And when you get a call stop from Jean Blank, you just invested a little while, which is nice. I mean, it was a good conversation. She's a dear. We spent that hour reminiscing. And she has, when she said, when we were done, she said, I guess we've been talking 10 or 15 minutes. No, Jean, I didn't say that. It'd been a lot longer. We were reminiscing about such people that I'm talking about, those who have touched your life and you've just been impressed with the fact they cared about you deeply and dearly. She mentioned just a few. She mentioned a bunch, some here today. She mentioned Buddy and Kathy Rogers. Some of you don't know them. He was an elder. Dear family. Here for years. Touched hearts all over the place. Mentioned Keith Patterson. There are plenty of us here who know Keith. Knew him. And have almost forgotten him. Dear man. Big heart. She mentioned Ernie Lucas. Each one of those names, as well as some others like Alan Johnson, took 10 or 12 minutes just to talk about. I brought up her own dear husband. Passed away many years ago now. Old Bill Blank. Cared. Right out of his heart for people, and poured himself out for them, because he learned from God and the grace of God who cared about him that it's a joy to reach out to the lives of those around you who need you. And that had just kind of become his life. Now, how dear is that? I suggest can't measure it. It's too big. We still have people like that here today. I won't start naming names. They're all over the room. How many friends do you have, though, who care enough to suffer immeasurable agony and then die for you? And does that move you? Is that just a story for you that may or may not be true? I hope not. I hope it is true. That's a depiction of him suffering there And if I had any idea of what it was really like, it's not an inaccurate picture. It's just a moment in time when your Lord, your God, Jesus Christ, spent a moment in time of the 6 hours He spent dying because He cared for you. Does it move you to care back? Hope so. When the kindness and love of God our Savior was revealed, when it appeared, some translation, appeared, revealed, what does that mean? That means you got it. It hit you. There's the picture. That was for me. When that happened, when it dawned on me that the kindness and love of my Savior, it hit me. He saved me then. That's what got to my heart, moved me with godly sorrow to say, I'm turning my life around in repentance. And like an obedient lamb, I'm just going to walk behind Him now. That's what repentance really means. It was not because of any good deeds that we'd done. We were just black little lost sheep. But it was because of His own mercy. Because of a care inside Him that could not stay inactive for you. He saved us. He spent those 6 hours. Can you be moved today by this? Or is it becoming dangerously true? Or close to being true? I don't believe it's true. You wouldn't be here. But close to being true? That Satan's work on you is being successful? Calloused? I don't feel nothing. Oh, I hope not. Not for one in the room. But that you are touched and it moves you afresh to say, I took part in what symbolized the very blood that He was shedding there and the body He lived in. And by taking that, I was saying, that moves me. He is impacting me 2,000 years later, right up to these moments of time, and in a closer way, I'm going to take my place in behind Him and the life He meant me to live and tell Satan to get out. Flee him. So he'll flee from me, in the words of James, God through James. Are you moved by incredible grace to care? In lessons that'll come after this one, I'll have other things that it can move us to. But I don't think anything comes past this, or better, or more important than this. Just move to care. Not be calloused. Be soft and tender inside. Tender toward Him. Say, whatever. Lord, I want to do anything I can to please You. Paul talked about pleasing Him over. Why are you talking so much about pleasing God? Because I care. And I want Him pleased with me. And I'll make the changes necessary that I can know from Him. So I'll no longer be wandering off like a lost sheep, but I'll be back inside close to Him, letting His grace determine who I am and the path of my life. Are you ready for that to be you today? Don't walk away calloused. And if you are going to walk away calloused, walk away with a lot of fear inside. You don't have a good future. Come as we stand and sing.